You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Now, we focus on the world of work, the dynamics that come with working in a family business, a family-run business, things that you have learned to look out for. By the way, I invite you to give us a call, 011-883-0702. Are you running a family business currently? Are you working for a family business currently? What are the common issues that family businesses usually face, or that your particular family business is facing right now, and how are you navigating that? I mean, one of the key issues is, for example, around separating what is business, right? And what is a professional business. And big issue in many family businesses is when you get paid. You know, when you're part of the family, you're probably the last to get paid. Everybody else gets paid, and you get paid last as a worker in the family business. I know a lot of people who'd want to raise that as a disadvantage of working for a family business, but what are some of those issues of being employed in a family business or of running a family business? 011-883-0702, 0727021702. Rob Wheeler is helping us in this conversation. He's a business coach and certainly one that could share some light and advice on this rather specific and difficult position of being in a family business. Robin, good morning, and thank you very much for your time and joining us here on the Clement Magnatella Show. It takes some doing, does it not? I mean, it's not just a case of, yeah, we've got all the skills. Probably we've now sent kids to school. They've got the expertise. One is an accountant. Maybe another one is done their MBA, and we are all coming in as members for the benefit of the family. Is it as simple as that, taking advantage of those skills to build an enterprise?
Morning, Thabo, and it's never simple.
Yeah. sure. Explore for us some of the advantages and disadvantages of working for a family business.
Well, let's start with, if I tell you about my family business, I've been going 27 years, and I am now pacing the lounge and the study of the house my grandfather built. My paternal grandfather, whose initial was R. Wheeler Richard. And I call his name as I say this. I call him into the room because he's my ancestor, and he built this house. And he was an engineer, and he put his son through school, and he conformed. But he wanted to be a writer, and I became the writer, Thabo. So there's a family business in that, following your calling in life, being true to yourself, using your talents, fulfilling your ancestral heritage. That's a family business. Another family business could be Mars. The Canadian company is famous for being the biggest family business. I mean, that's a completely different perception and structure there. So calling it a family-run business is partly helpful and can also get in the way of things. But having a family ethos to it, to me, is central to it. And then once you follow that calling, you start to face all sorts of complex issues along the way, and it's something you learn from experience and something that makes the quality of your business. It's not about fitting in with the rules. Family businesses have freedom to create something new, something magical, something spirited, and that's what you've got to keep at the center of things.
How do you build that common value system or common culture of attacking what is business? You know, as siblings, for example, you have a different temperament. For example, I would be a little bit more patient than my brother. My brother would lose his temper quite quickly. And we are trying to build a particular value of the business that is common, that we all aspire to. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you've got to draw on who you are and what you know. So if you take, say, the Muslim community, having a family business is something you're born into and something that you're raised with. And by the time you're sort of economically active, you're already a seasoned person who understands how to work as a tight-knit community for the benefit of everyone, you know. And then that also comes with a whole lot of complexities to it that maybe the African heritage can bring, that whole thing of being able to get together and have a discussion where everyone's individuality is respected, and then their wisdom is brought to the table, and then there's a collective decision that results in the best for everyone. So every sort of human individual, and then your immediate community, which would be your family, and then your broader community, which would be your business or your tribe or your, you know, the people that are your stakeholders, if you want to use business language for it, all have a place in there, all need a voice in there. But you do need a leader. You need someone who knows where they're going and who takes responsibility. And then you need respective individuals to take responsibility for their place in that. And that's what makes the family business work.
Yeah. And how do you build a competitive edge? You know, sometimes mom and pop's businesses or family businesses are not looked at in the context of these bigger conglomerates. Funny enough, some of the bigger conglomerates also start as family businesses. But when you enter into the marketplace and you're in the space, they say, oh, that is just a family business. And how do you get in there and assert yourself and build that competitive edge for your business?
You know, that's a big one. You're managing that all the time because, you know, there are different structures and sort of protocols, there are family protocols. And if everyone knows what their role is in the business and they're happy with that, then that's a primary thing to get in place. But, you know, for example, all sorts of family businesses have come to mind in preparation for chatting to you today. I mean, there's a Greek-run Greek restaurant where I used to stay and I still frequent in Joburg, and that's recently been taken over by the three siblings who are in their late 40s from the founding father who's in his 80s. And, you know, obviously that was about him feeling ready and the family meeting around it and the people stepping up. The daughter left her corporate job and stepped into the family business, and they've all brought new life to it. So you've got to keep going for the greater good. Keep going for the spirit of it, for the ongoing magic. And for me, it's not a competitive edge. That's the old model. That's the old business model of competition and outsmarting each other. To me, the new and being yourself for a living, which is my brand, is about the new, is about co-creating. It's a different consciousness. It's about bringing a solution from your inner knowing into the outer world and doing that collectively for the benefit of everyone. And that creativity means everyone has a place in there within the business and around the business, which is always evolving. And it takes you out of that negative heaviness of competition into that ecstasy, when you get it right, of co-creativity.
Jeremy in Ormond, good morning. Thanks for the call.
I'm saying I've bent my feeling up for employing two of my family members in my small business. In that, at the end of the day, everybody end up knowing how much money you're making on a daily basis and how much money you're taking home per month. And, it you know, sometimes when they misbehave, your family member, they make it a little bit difficult for you to discipline the other, to discipline them. And, you know, yeah, for me, it never worked out. I ended up getting rid of them, and it has brought a lot of tension to my family. But, yeah, it is what it is. As a businessman, you have to make some decisions that are not popular.
Jeremy, in Ormond, they burnt his fingers, Robin. He says, in terms of, I suppose, a lack of commitment, but also the exposure that he would have had to endure in terms of members of the family knowing, for example, what you make and having expectations around that. How do you navigate that?
Well, I think the key word there, Tabo, is boundaries. Even, you know, Jeremy's talking about a negative experience there, and I think that there's a boundary there for him between business and personal. And, you know, from his experience so far, he's definitely learned there to keep those boundaries very clear, or that boundary between the two very clear, because he can run his business better if he keeps it strictly a business and can have employee-employer relationships. Those are boundaries. But if you've got a family business where you have no choice, or maybe someone in his position would carry on having experiences and then maybe want to hand his business over to his descendants, and then it would have to be a family business, all of those factors mean that you have to negotiate boundaries. And that's something that a business running person, an owner or a leader in a business, needs to work on within themselves, because you're always having to lead from your own experience. And boundaries are things that apply to how you run your life and therefore how you run your business. So that's again comes back to, you know, what roles do people have? What's the culture there? What is expected?
Yeah.
And a family member in your business should add to that, not exploit it.
Yeah, no. And I mean, there's a sense and belief in some instances that family businesses tend to bring and appoint people into roles that they really do not have skills or training for. And many saying this can have maybe a negative effect, but others are saying this could have a positive effect because then you get to learn the family business without too much pressure that you would otherwise have in the corporate space. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, any environment has got its pros and its cons, you know. So, for example, someone may be born into a family business that's second generation, so they may have all the benefits of growing up in the founder's home. They learn business, they hear conversations around the dining room table, they get to adulthood, they might maybe can go and get a skill like you said earlier, become financially skilled or technically skilled or management expertise might be their area, and then they can bring that to the business and more or less walk into a legacy. But then what happens if they want to be a musician?
Yeah.
Suddenly this business becomes a curse to them because they have to fulfill their father's expectations. So, it's a very difficult thing to just sort of talk about as a policy type decision because each scenario is very organic and real and it requires the intelligence of the people involved, you know. So that's what to me a family business does when it's working well is that everyone's on the same page. Differences are embraced because you can't all be thinking the same way. You won't be in business for very long. You need that diversity. And as it grows, you need to adapt to that. And just make sure that you're doing the right thing in the first place.
Lucas in Kalami, good morning.
Good morning, Tabo. How are you?
Good. Welcome. Go for it.
Thank you for having me. We run a business, a furniture business in Kalami Corner called Sasa Creations, which was started by my mother-in-law as a kitchen business in her garage. And then we then took it over and grow it into a home decor boutique. And it's working really well. I mean, my younger sister-in-law is the shopkeeper in the business every day. And then we are doing operations, my wife and I. And then my brother-in-law, who is the youngest, is studying law, comes every weekend on Saturday and Sunday to come operate the business. So it's working really well for us.
So how do you handle, for example, Lucas, the things of innovation, somebody bringing ideas and so on and so forth, who sits and directs those ideas? Because, I mean, as family members, we could all have various ideas of how do we market the business or how do we take it to the next level?
Now, what we do is every now and then we sit together as a family and then we come up with different ideas. Like now we're running a special, which the younger sibling decided, let's have a Women's Month special. And then we like, okay, it's a good idea. Let's run a Women's special and then we do it together. So what we do is we always sit, come up with different suggestions on how we can take the business forward and then we go for it. If it's a good idea, then we support it.
Sounds fantastic. Lucas there in Kyalami, 011-883-0702. You also can weigh in. Robin, I suppose it works better where there is no family conflict. If the siblings and everybody else are in agreement.
I've never heard of such a thing, Tabo. We're talking hypothetical theories. In fact, all you got to do is take a happy family and have a deceased member and a will, and you'll just see all sorts of gremlins coming out of the woodwork. And in a sense, a family business is an operating version of that. You've got money involved. You've got legacies, people's personal agendas. It's something where you've got to go into it with the courage to work through those kinds of things. So there are people who manage to get on really well through their lives, and that's great. But I think that's because they've got the fundamentals right, or maybe they're just lucky on that side of things.
How do you manage that point of conflict so that it doesn't destabilize the business operations, but still not putting your family relations at risk?
Yeah, and I think there's an element of risk that's always there, but family runs deep. And so if you dig deep into yourself and you really take all those challenges as opportunities to learn. You know, we learn these things. Wisdom, any piece of wisdom, we've had two callers phone in and share their wisdom. That wisdom comes from hard experience. It comes from loss. It comes from difficulty. And so wisdom is a very expensive thing. It's easy to give once you've got it. So if everybody's being tested. And, you know, you talked about skills earlier. It's not just skills. It's about people living the roles they were meant to bring to the world, you know. And family is the immediate environment where you bring who you are to be of service. Some people might be really rational thinkers, and they can keep a business model in mind and a business temperament. And somebody else might be very emotional and erratic, but that's their creativity, and that's their flair, and that's their passion, and you need both of those things. And to be able to manage that is a win-win that your family businesses really have an advantage with in the world.
Yeah. Succession planning is one other reason why people start family businesses. Many family business owners may find it difficult to hand over the business to somebody who's not part of the family. So they bring members in order to manage the succession question. Lihlonolo is calling us in Midrand. And Lihlonolo, you tried to employ your son in the business. Is that part of a succession plan?
That's part of it. Good day to you and your guests. That's part of it. But, yeah. But what I've tend to realize with the young man is that he's more interested when he's broke. You know, as soon as he gets paid, he's not interested. He runs away.
Yeah.
So what I did is that I created a competition between him and the sister, the older sister. So I started getting the older sister involved. I said to him, you know what? You are going to be ruled by your sister one day, because The way you're showing interest and when you need money and then when you don't need it. So the sister is really deep into it. I mean, whenever she gives me a call, she always asks me about the business. How's the business doing? How's the client? Are the client coming through? I mean, I was talking to her last night. She was saying, yeah, now it's event season, daddy. We need to pump. We need to push. I'm saying to her, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, you must come around and we need to sit down and see what we... She's more interested in him than in the business than him. And the other thing, I think, it's the fact of we really need to get our kids involved. Like our counterparts, our white counterparts, our Greek counterparts, they've got their kids involved in their businesses. Those businesses continue. It's never a matter of when you die, the business dies. It should be the thing, when you die, the business continues. The kids keep on, because we're doing this for them. I'm telling you, I'm doing this for my kids. For them to leave a legacy whereby they will be told. They won't depend on any other company. They'll depend on their parents' company, on their company, to be successful.
Sounds good.
It doesn't matter if they are lawyers or they are teachers or they are salary, they need to get involved in the business while they are lawyers.
Lihlonolo there in Midrand. Sounds certainly good. Robin, was that the plan with your grandfather, that this would be a family business going forward? So there was a degree of succession planning, and was it deliberate?
Absolutely not the case. I'll get to that. I just want to pick up on something that came to me. Those three callers we've had in, have you noticed in your last half an hour segment, you were talking about a mining company with a 10-year-old story, a recurring problem. It didn't have the flair of today's, of the last half an hour, Thabo.
Yeah.
Because we're talking a different level here. Family business is spirited. It's passionate. It's wise. It's creative. It's full of people's personalities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a different level. And this is what's so exciting about it. But to bring that back to your question, my grandfather, you know, he was an educated man. He passed that down to me through my father. So there were certain heritage things that were deliberate. It was a sort of British colonial culture, so there were values from that. But then what I did is I became an entrepreneur, which was a break from the conformist norm. And it was kind of like before everything was by the book, so you got a job, and my dad worked in a corporation, the same company for his whole life. So for me to break from that and to become the writer, for one thing, that was my grandfather's unlived side. It was his creative passion that never manifested. So I took that baton and I ran with it. But I had to break from the norm. I had 3 years, just over 3 years of corporate experience, which was enough to teach me what I needed and give me the experience to make my own decision to follow my calling. And then when I did, my grandfather was deceased by then. So I spoke to his middle son, my dad's brother, and he was in his own business. And he said to me, no, you must go for it. You know, the best day of his life was when he went and told his boss to shove it and went out on his own, you know. And I realized that was the voice of my grandfather saying to me, look, if I had my life again, I would go for it, my boy, go for it.
Sure.
And now I've gone for it. So there's often a very sort of spiritual, unspoken undertone that you follow, not necessarily an overt succession planning thing. But in my case, for example, my sister was out recently from Switzerland. She and her husband moved over to the UK and then Switzerland with their kids and have moved countries and lived that life. And she was here with her daughter. And I had a conversation with her about managing my portfolio of books, my body of work, one day. And I just planted the seed there. She's 16, and my intuition is there. So I'm thinking succession planning, you know.
Absolutely.
And it comes with the territory.
Yeah. Mpilo in Soweto, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go for it, Mpilo.
Yes, first of all, I just want to say what I do, okay? I'm just 30 years old. I run a student accommodation and a gym at the same time, okay? And it's a family business. And now, one thing that probably I love about this, I've been doing it for the past 6 years without any fail. And even with probably right now, I'm just parked on the side of the road, just trying to maybe just give a chip in with this topic, because it really got me so interested in it. Because there are actually the young people out there who love what they do, you know, so... And was always just running it through my family. It becomes a bit difficult now because you can't delegate tasks to your mom, your dad, or your little siblings or anything. You know, because now you're afraid. You can't separate the line between family and just business in general. So that's why I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
Mpilo, much appreciated, and thank you for chipping in and coming on board. And Robin, let me appreciate you as well. Really spirited conversation, certainly. And it has lifted a lot of spirits and your contribution. Much appreciated as well.
It's a great pleasure.
That's business coach Robin Wheeler there helping us in that conversation.